Okay. Morning, Rabbi. Lessons from the lathe. Lessons from the lathe. A little bit of a tear, of course, as we... This is the last official one here for the Shana Aleph of Leva Torah. In Mirtz Hashem, you'll be listening through the summer. Beli Neder, I will try my best every week to continue lessons from the lathe. And for those Shana Bet / Lathe L'Chayal, we will, in Mirtz Hashem, continue back up. I hopefully will not take a week off. I thought it would be a perfect week to take off, since I will be going to America, and I'll just be laying Shlach twice, so I could take off, but I plan not to. I believe the night that we normally do the lessons late is my grandmother's yahrzeit, so I want to do one special for that. Just in case we don't, I want to remember my grandmother, Chana Lifsha Bas Beryl Dov, whose yahrzeit is in a week from now, Rishon Hashanah and Aliyah, in Mirtz Hashem. She was a wonderful and amazing, amazing grandmother, and I know mother, but certainly a Melitz Yosher, where what she did and all of her children, Baruch Hashem, following in her path is a wonderful thing, and I hope that she gets nachas in Shamayim, knowing that I'm fulfilling a dream that I know my grandparents had of living here in the land of Israel. Speaking of the land of Israel, it was quite emotional a few moments ago, as I believe it was the first of the Sherutim, no, of the Sherutz left. I have a story about that, but okay. Of the Sherutz left, beautiful singing, and dancing. It really was a beautiful thing. It really every year gets me very, very emotional. The boys showing their love to other boys, singing Yerushalayim Mircha, Shavu Banu Megulam, maybe they'll come back. Until it takes off, you never know. Mirtz Hashem, they should stay here. So, today's lesson from the lathe, Parshas Baaloscha, for you guys. Almost everybody here in the room should be Parshas Naso, but don't worry about it. We'll do something anyway. So, this week's lessons from the lathe is something along the lines of how to get up when you've fallen. I don't know if anybody recognized the picture, but in my day there was an old lady, and she was worked for a company called Life Alert. She fell on the floor, and she said, I've fallen and I can't get up. So I hold that it's not halachic, that it's not Jewish in nature. We Jews have fall and we can get up. And that's what today's lesson from the lathe is going to be about. So I'm going to base it on a beautiful idea. The Maisim of the Menorah, Bahaloska as a Menorah from last week's Parsha, or for you guys will be this week's Parsha. You still have to go to shul this week, by the way, even though you heard Nasa already on Shabbos. But from this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha, we know the Midrash tells us that Moshe, but really Aaron, is the one who did not bring any of the korbanot in the Siyam. He has Chalishas Has. He wants to do something, and he brings the menorah. He will light the menorah. The menorah will be brought, of course, for future generations. So he we're talking about Chanukah and future generations. The menorah, of course, has great symbolism of not just the menorah, but the or of Torah, ki ner mitzvah Torah or. But then we have a pasuk that says, well, how do we make this menorah? So we know that Aaron will light the menorah, but then Moshe is commanded to make the menorah. Right? And so the question is that how is this menorah going to be made? So the pesukim here is very, very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded Ba'aloscha et ha-menorah mul p'nei ha-menorah ya'ir shivas neiros, that Moshe, that Aaron HaKohen is Ba'aloscha ha-neiros, he's commanded to do this. So how's he going to do it? V'zeh ma'is ha-menorah. So what is this? How is the menorah made? And it says Mikshazov, it's made out of one. So, and Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to do this. And the Pesukim already allude to this, a little bit lengthy Pasuk. So what does this mean? So the Midrash tells us the following thing, very, very interesting. So he says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu exactly do? So we know that there's a famous Midrash that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of trouble making the menorah. Rabbeinu Shalom showed him the menorah. He still had a lot of trouble making it. So the Midrash Tanchuma says the following. The Sifri, I believe, the Sifri says that, first we'll quote the Sifri. What is it? Ma'ara. Ma'ara arba pamim. Pam arba pamim. He showed it to him. Shara HaKadosh Olam Alamed Shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ra at Tehu to Moshe Rabbeinu also arba pamim. Ra also V'shar Kelim V'shachacha. And he forgot Moshe. V'ra oso pam shenit. Right? Very interesting. until he brought the menorah down, Ki'ilun. That's why it's one of the Kalim, says the Medrash Rabbah, that was brought up to the Beis Hamikdash, that was brought up in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. We don't know where it is. Some hold that it's in the Vatican. Wherever it is, it is. The Ma'aseh of the menorah. The Odomer, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ma'aseh Moshe, not to kikar zav, the shlich alor, he threw it up. The Amr Moshe Rabbeinu Shoilim, Harei, I can't, I don't understand how to make it. And he told them, Ma'aseh menorah, Asa Moshe, Ken Kosov, Asa, Ma'aseh, Kodesh Baruch Hu helped him in making it. Moshe did the actions, he tried, and then Hashem finished it for him. That's one Midrash. The Midrash Rabbah says something fascinating as well, based on this idea. That Moshe Rabbeinu, it's hard to understand that he kept forgetting, but he had the will, he had the desire, he wanted to do. And that's why the Rabbeinu Sholem either did it for him, according to the Midrash Rabbah, or maybe not actually, but showed it to him. It says the Midrash Rabbah continues, V'od Yeshlomar, he says that maybe it was actually Betzalel. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, now I understand this name, Betzalel, that he actually made the menorah for him. So what's the idea over here? So I want to share with you a beautiful idea which will connect, I hope, a very important message for you guys in a sefer called Limudei Nisan, the sefer of Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a beautiful, beautiful sefer. Rav Nissen Alpert was a Rosh Hashiva in YU, Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He died too young. It's a great, great gadol. He says as follows. He says, V'yas Ma'aseh Menorah, because of Rashi, Shirah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Be'etzbo, Lefnei, Sheikshubo. Showed it there. That's why he says, Vizeh. Gemara Menachos says this on Chavtes. So he says, let me explain to you a mashal. Very interesting mashal. Listen carefully to this mashal. Shenaslo Nishnei Anashim Chomer. Somebody gives two people to build a house, and they give them all the materials to build the house. The Binyan Bayis, Eitzim Avon, and they give them everything that they need. There's an offer, right? They give them everything. The Patish, right, everything. He's got all the building materials to build the house. There's only one small problem that these two people have equally. Guess what that problem is? They don't know how to build a house. They're Jewish. So what should they do? Obviously, call somebody who can build a house. Halach. So one of them goes to a nagar, right? And he goes to a craftsman, and he says, "Teach me how to build a house. I don't know how to build a house." The acher chlachach ha'etzim me'avonim v'bona zavayas. He was his, if you will. He went as an apprenticeship. Be'asheni, he says, he's a good man, Jew, and says, I don't need directions, honey. You know, I'm fine. So pulls up a YouTube video, and says, okay, here's how you do a house. I can figure it out. Pauses the video and starts to build. Eitzim Avonim L'chom, he does everything. And they both build a house. Except the one who went to the apprenticeship makes a beautiful house perfectly, and the second one, of course, doesn't. In fact, he runs out of materials. You know, I'm sure, I don't know if this ever happened to you. Our good friends at IKEA. So we get the product. Of course, it's in no language. It's in a language, you know, just people's motions and you put it together, and you're almost there, and then you run out of material. And of course, obviously, they made a mistake, IKEA, and they didn't pack it. There's something missing. You go back there, and they laugh at you. You know, you're the 900th Jew that's come and said, there's not enough screw. There's plenty of screws, sir. There's, by you, there's a screw missing, but you built the wrong product. So he says, what's the muscle here? The chen hu chayo adam. Hasman katsu from Allah baruba. What Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbeinu Shalom says, listen, I tried, but I need your help. I need your help in this. When he saw that he tried and he did, I said, okay, I need you now. And he showed it to him. So we learned, I think, two lessons over here. Lesson number one is that you have to try. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I can't do it. What Moshe Rabbeinu said was, I tried. I need help now. And one of the biggest challenges when guys go back after their amazing experience here in Eretz Yisrael, and really in life, is you're going to fall. You're going to make commitments to yourself, but you're going to fall. This is not a prediction. This is what we call reality. Whether it's the area of Minyan, whether it's the area of Limud Torah, whether it's the area of Mitzvah, you're going to fall. You know, imagine a guy, he's on the plane, really a tzaddik. I mean, I'm serious now. He says to himself, I promise myself, I'm going to work on my relationship with my parents. I'm going to work on that relationship. And he's thinking about it, the whole plane ride, and how he's going to act. And he gets off the plane, and he's with a van full of people, so now they're on the plane too. They're all walking off together. He's now made all these friends. And his mother says, "Come here, Bubba lover, let me give you a big huggy, muggy, schmuggy." And he's like, "Mom, stop it, stop it." And he's like, "Oh, there he goes your shalom bias. There goes your keep it out there." Okay. But that's not as extreme of a level. So what do you do when you fall? You try. So many people fall and that's it. They don't get up. They're done. So the first thing is, you have to get up. You have to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for help in getting up. You have to ask for help. That's lesson number one, a pashut lesson. I don't think it's such a chiddush. It's difficult to say this, but every day that you daven, you should daven to Hashem, obviously. In Shema Kolenu, you should always add things. You must do that. Don't make your tefillah keva, regular. But more than that, is that you have to daven to Hashem, that things should work out. Just like I daven in Minyan today, tomorrow should be Zoycha that I want to get up for Minyan. Maybe make your davening a little bit longer, it's fine. You need help from God. But then there's a second example Rav Nissen Alpert gives us. The second example Rav Nissen Alpert is so important. And that is, sometimes you got to say, okay, I need help from Hashem. Maybe it's not Hashem only. Because in our case, in Rav Nissen Alpert's beautiful example, it was an ummah. It was a professional. And that's the people that are here, your rabbein. There's no reason to be embarrassed. And to talk to your Rebbeim and to tell them what your challenges are. In my opinion, most of the times that I speak to students in the yeshiva, that were in the yeshiva, the alumni of the yeshiva, so the conversations I normally have are not about, did you go to Minyan this morning? I want to show them that I'm there. I want to start a relationship with them. They, if they want to open up to me, that they can do that. But they have to open up to me. I think that one of the big challenges, and to me, what is a shame, because if I were to tell you this now, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway because it happens, is that students don't stay in touch with their rabbeim. And I don't understand it. I've discussed this many times. I even, unfortunately, in January was given Musar by my alumni, and they told me to get Facebook, so I got Facebook. So that's a much better way. That's the way we'll stay in touch with you. I don't know if that's true. Rabbeim send out emails, they call. Students don't always answer. And it's sad. I understand we live in a technological generation, but we want to stay in touch with you, and sometimes you need that uman. Sometimes you have to go to the professional and say, "I need help." As opposed to saying, "I don't need help, YouTube. I'll go onto YouTube and I'll get some inspiration from some rabbi I don't know who he is. That's going to help me." You can't build a house like that. Baruch Hashem, you're zocha to have a foundation, which many people are not zocha to have. Think about how lucky you are to have a foundation. But don't be embarrassed. Yes, on one hand, we want to ask from Hashem, tells us the Medrash. But on the other hand, we need to ask our Rabbein. We can't be embarrassed and say, we know the challenges. We hear it all the time. It's not easy. You can tell us anything. Many Rabbein have heard it all. You're going back, whether it's the United States or Canada, and certainly when we mention the United States, we remember and think with great sadness how terrorism is not just something of Eretz Yisrael. Nebuch lo aleinu, 49 people who were murdered. And I'll say what the president of your country won't say, by Islamic terrorists, by what we experience here in Eretz Yisrael, day in and day out. Should be zoicha that these families get strength. It's a very, very difficult time knowing what's going on. So you need chizuk. Don't make the mistake of falling down and not getting up because you think nobody's there. We're here. But you got to reach out to us first. And if for some reason you think there's a Rebbe that's not getting back to you, so email me. I have a very good track record of getting back to all the boys, usually. So I get... Come visit me in camp. It's fine. Finally, the pasuk says, in Ashrei, I know I've mentioned this before, Ashrei is missing a nun. Gemara in Brachos, Nefila. It mentions Nefila. We don't want to talk about falling, so we don't mention it. That's such a beautiful Gemara. Except the next pasuk says, Soymech Hashem l'chol anoifim. I don't understand. There's no nun. You know, never try to teach your child the Aleph with the Ashrei, because then he'll never say nun for the rest of his life. There's no nun. What a great Gemara. But what about Soymech Hashem l'chol anoifim? Says the Bnei Yisrael, a beautiful idea. You know why that's there? Because it reminds us, Soymech Hashem doesn't say, it says l'chol anoifim. Doesn't say the kol anoflim the dotment of do. No, you are at the bottom of the bottom of the pit. Soymech Hashem, I'll pick you up, says the Ravon Hashem. But you got to call out to me. Pasuk in Ashrei also. Karub Hashem l'chol karav shekrubi emes. L'chol karav again. I'm close to everybody, but well, you got to call out to me seriously. You got to ask. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us a lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot. What does that mean? He forgot. We don't understand what that means. I don't want to talk about it. What does that mean? He forgot. I'll tell you what it means. You will forget. You will not do. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, our Rabbeinu. He taught us a lesson. But you get up and you ask for assistance, whether it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself or from your own Rabbeinu. Soymech Hashem l'chol anoiflim. I hate to be Baal Gaiva. But we are representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We Rabbeim represent the kavod of the Torah, the kavod of Shemayim. If you ever, by mistake, stood up for me, so you weren't standing up for me, you're standing up out of kavod of Torah. You're standing up out of, right? The only reason I'm machmir, if somebody ever said to me, "Yo, Rabbi," I say, "Yo," should never be "Yo, Rabbi," unless there's a rabbi whose name is Yo. It should be Rabbi Yo, but you never say "Yo, Rabbi," right? Or Rahman al-Slan, somebody, you know, wants to be funny and he says, "Oh, Daniel, chutzpah." It's not because of me, it's not because of my kavod. We are the representatives, we're the ambassadors of the Ravon Hashem. Which Mitzvah Hashem, that's what you are as well. Parshas Naso, you shall be reading again. Kotz of Aruch HaZbenei Yisrael. That's what the Kohanim are. They're ambassadors, they're representatives. That's why maybe in a certain level for sure, Kohen Jehoram is a nefesh, he can't represent the Tzibur. If he doesn't have Shalom, he doesn't have Avla. If he's somebody who hates everybody, so he can't duchem, he's not allowed to. We're representatives. So we're here to help you. We're here to help you. And you have to take that. If you've fallen, you can get up, and we want you to get up, and we want to be there for you. And we want to. But only if you reach out to us. And I think that this is not a problem with Yeshiva Leva Torah. It's a challenge in every yeshiva. Because when you get farther away, so you think, oh, he's not going to understand. He won't know what I'm talking. We know. Trust me, we know. Reach out to us. Reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Keep asking for the tefillos. It's a strange thing. Maybe you think that you have to daven for this. You have to daven for this. If this is not something that was consistent in your life, whether it's, as I said, which Torah, which mitzvah, whatever I'm talking about, that's what you should be davening already for. We should be zeicha to continue listening to lessons from the Leif. That's the first bracha I give you. So we could finally reach our goal of more than 4 listeners. My mother, my father, my aunt, my uncle. No. We should be zeicha that you're consistent in your learning of Torah. You're consistent in the doing of mitzvos, in connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that we should be zeicha that you all return here, not only when the Maisa Menorah becomes real and the Menorah is yod with the Beis HaMikdash Ba'esh, but you should be zeicha to come back here, to be connected. One of the reasons I think that you'll come back here is because you will be connected to your Rabbeim. And you'll have this desire. Rav Goldbach beautifully said yesterday here in our Beis Medrash. He beautifully said that when you come in, all of a sudden you're going to feel nostalgic. You're going to actually want to go daven by your mako. And that's such a beautiful thing. But that's because this is your home. Yes, you have a home that you're going to now, and I don't discount that. And you should give your parents a big hug and thank them for a wonderful year. Because they are also people that you could be a baleitza to. But we are here waiting in your home. We're waiting for you to return. If you can't come back right away, shun a bit, make it a plan that I have to come back. What kept me going personally to recharge my batteries, what kept me going was knowing I'm coming back. When I came back in January, I got on the plane and I said, okay, when's the next time I'm coming back? And I kept this plan going for 20 some odd years until I finally returned back. Or I turned back, not, right? I think Rabbi Fass's famous line. You're not running away from something, you're running to something. This is your home. The Shiva Leva Torah is your home forever. Use the great resources that are here. Hamid Hashem, we should see you come back. We are not saying goodbye, we are saying hello. Because in Hebrew, we don't say goodbye. We say shalom. Shalom is hello. Shalom is peace. Shalom is also goodbye, but it means also hello. Hamid Hashem, we should see everybody back here very, very soon.